Today's shiur is Masechta Kedushin Daf Samach Gimel. We will begin on Daf Samach Beis Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom of Amar Abaya. In our previous shiur, we had begun the sugya of Adav Shalom Bel Olam, and we had learned the machlokes. If we say Adam Akta Adav Shalom Bel Olam, if something that hasn't yet come into existence, can one make such a transaction or not? And furthermore, we've learned that there are certain conditions when we do say Ada Makna Dava Shalai B'Loilam. Says the Gemara Amma Baya, B'Lezer Ben Yaakov, Rebbe V'Rameya, Kul Sfir Lei, they are all of the opinion that Adam Makna Dava Shalai B'Loilam, that one can make a transaction on something that doesn't exist. And the Gemara says how we see this. Rebbe Lezer Ben Yaakov, Hadamarim, that we learned extensively in our previous year, that even though produce has not yet completely grown, the halacha is one could take off trumas and maisris on such produce, even though it's a davar shelo b'loilam. Rebbe, where do we see that so is the opinion of Rebbe? The Tanya says the Gemara, we learned in a braisa. The pasuk says, Lesazge eved al adorav. The Torah says that a person should not hand over an Eved Kenani to his owner. What is the case? Says Rabbi Omer, teaches us Rabbi is referring to a situation. B'lekech Eved amnas lach shachar akos medaber. As soon as a person is teaching us that a person is not allowed to give over the Eved to free him. And the question is, Heichi Dami, exactly what is the case that's being discussed? It says the Gemara Amar of Nachman Yitzchak. The case is, calling the Kosov law, where he wrote to his Eved, when I purchase you, you will be free from the moment I buy you. And the Torah says that if that was the stipulation of the sale, if that was the stipulation of sale, you may not do anything to cause him to work. So even though when this obligation was taken upon oneself, he didn't have ownership of the Eved yet, and certainly you can't freeze an Eved that you don't own, still, he wrote that when I buy you, you will be free. So we see the Rebbe is of the opinion that someone can make such a stipulation, even though it isn't yet, even though it's a davar shelo b'loilam. Rameya, where do we find Rameya holds that way? The Tanya says the Gemara. The Braisa says, Hai Melisha Red Mekadesh Asli. Somebody says to a woman, I'm marrying you, Lachashas Gair, after I become a ger. Lacher shetis gairi, after you become a geyoris. Lacher shetakrer, he's currently an Eved Kenani. He says, after I become free, Acher shetakrer, Acher shetakri, she's a shukri kananis. Lacher shomus beilich, right now she's a married woman, but he says to her, after your husband passes away, Lacher shetamus achoisech, she's right now a chos ishtoi, and he can't marry an chos ishtoi, even if he's no longer married to the sister, as long as that sister to whom he was married is alive. The halacha is, he can't marry such a woman, but he says, I will marry you after this woman who's causing us not to be able to get married passes away. A woman is a shemeres yavam, and he says to her, after the chalitza is done, I will marry you. In all these cases, ain't a mekadeshes. Because in all of these situations, we have a situation of a davar shelo b'loilam. Ramei Omer, in these cases, are mekadeshes. So we see that Ramei is not troubled by the fact that it's a davar shelo b'loilam. Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, who else? Omer, Rabbi Yochanan Sandler says, in this case, ain't a mekadeshes, davar shelo b'loilam. Yuda Nasu Emma Mekadeshis. Ma, says the Gemara, Ma Tam Amru Ena Mekadeshis. Says the Gemara, why is the Chacham say that she's not Mekadeshis? Mishum Eva. The halacha is that if a wife is aware that this is what her husband is doing, it's going to cause acrimony in the marriage. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara if Rav Yehuda Nasi holds like Rav Meir, why doesn't the Braisa, why isn't Rav Yehuda Nasi mentioned as one of the Tanoim that has no problem with a Dovah Shlo B'Loilam? And it says the Gemara, Hein Rebbe Yehuda Nasi. Rebbe and Rebbe Yehuda Nasi are one and the same. But ask the Gemara, V'nachash V'nami, why isn't Rebbe Kiva counted as one of the individuals who says you could work with a Dovah Shlo B'Loilam? Because the Tanya, the Braisa says, if a woman, a married woman says, if a woman says that whatever I do should be usher to you, the halacha is, if she makes such a nether, ain't tzarich lahafer. The husband doesn't even have to be made for the nether, because the wife has no right to make such a nether, because everything that she does and earns is obligated to the husband. Rav Kiva says, yefer, he should be mefer. Shema tadif of yesem naroi loy. As we learned in Masechta Ksubos, there's certain obligations that a wife has to do for her husband. Whatever she does above and beyond that, that belongs to her. And therefore, since on that the nether could be effective, it's appropriate, says Rabbi Kiva, to be made for that nether. But the question, of course, is, even if that is the case, but why isn't this considered a Dovah Shlo B'Loilam? She hasn't earned this yet. So even if we'll say that there's no obligation of that to the husband, there still should be another issue of a Dovah Shlo B'Loilam. Answers the Gemara, Itma Allah. When we learned this halacha in the yeshiva, the halacha is what was taught in the yeshiva was that Amar Rav Huna b'Rei Yeshua by Meres, the way the nether was expressed, she said, "Yukachi yodei le'aseyem." She was magdish our hands, that whatever our hands produce should be hegdish, and the yadayim are obviously ba'olam. So Taisus asks, well, we learned Masechta Ksubos and Masechta Nedarim, we learned that the halacha is that the only type of nether a husband can be made for are dvarim shebeinoy lebeino, nedarim that affect the relationship. Why is this something that affects their relationship? So Taisus answers that it's very difficult to be able to differentiate between what is the hadafa and what is the obligation. And since it's very hard to be able to differentiate, the husband has a right to be made for the nether altogether. Taisus in Masechta Yevamos gives a different teretz. Taisus in Masechta Yevamos says that even what the wife earns, which is above what she's obligated to give her husband, so yes, the husband doesn't have a right to ownership of those earnings, but the husband has a right, treats them like nechsim elog, which throughout Shas, we know the definition of nechsim elog is that the husband gets the payrus, gets the interest, the rent off nechsim elog. So it is something that the husband has a connection to. A third teretz that the Rishonim suggest is what is done with the hadafa. The hadafa is used for a woman buying jewelry and makeup, and therefore all of those different types of items certainly affect the relationship of the husband and the wife. So even though she technically keeps those earnings, but they're certainly in the category of dvarim shebeinoy lebeino. Says the Mishnah Elisha, if somebody says to a woman, "Harei at mekadeshes li, amnash adav alach l'shulton," this woman has some sort of a situation with the government, and he says, "I'll work on your behalf." Esem chabepoil, or if he said, "I will work for you," or, and then dibal el shelton, he kept his condition. Asa ima kapoil. He kept his condition. He did the work that he promised. B'kadeshes. Mimlav. But if he didn't keep his promise, then the halacha is ain't a mekadeshes. Then she's not mekadeshes. Says the Gemara. Amrei Shlokish. V'hu shenosn l'shev pruta. All these cases that we learned in the Mishnah also require that he gave her a shavapruta. But if he didn't give her a shavapruta, then these are just tanoim. These are just stipulations. And as we often discuss in our shiurim, yes, you could attach a to a kedushin a stipulation, but the stipulation is not the kedushin, and that's why the Gemara is saying that you have to have a kedushin and then a stipulation. So Rashi asks, if that's the case, if that's the way to learn the Mishnah, that there was a regular kedushin with a sheva pruta, and then on top of that, there was a stipulation, so what is our Mishnah teaching us? So Rashi answers that that's exactly what the Mishnah is coming to teach us, that Esa imcha kapoyel, or I will work for you, or I'll speak for you, are considered like Mekadosh B'milva. And they themselves cannot create a Kedushin. What could create a Kedushin is only in a situation where there was a Pruta also. Another Teres that the Tosfos Rosh says, that the Mishnah is coming to teach us that if he fulfilled the stipulation, which is very understandable, he said, I'm going to work for you, speak to you for the government. But just because you speak to the government, as we know, does not necessarily mean that you're going to be successful. And since it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be successful, maybe she could then say, well, you didn't fulfill your stipulation because you didn't accomplish what I need to accomplish. Teaches us the Mishnah, says the Tosfos Rosh, that he didn't promise to accomplish. He promised to speak to the government. And since he did it, it's considered a fulfillment of the condition. So again, says the Gemara, Amrei Shlokish, the way to understand the Mishnah is v'hu shenosn lo shavapruta, that on top of the stipulation, he also gave a shavapruta. U'b'schar, says the Gemara, but what about the wages that he would be entitled to for speaking to the government or working loy? She can't become... That wouldn't affect the Kedushin. Ask the Gemara, Tanya, have we not learned in a Braisa? If a man says to a woman, you owe me wages for me having you driven you on my donkey, on my wagon, on my boat, in all these cases, Enim Kedushas. Why? Because he had already done it, and she owed him for what? She owed him pay for it. So that's called Hamakadosh B'milva. And as we've learned so many times, Baruch Hashem, Hamakadosh B'milva ain't a Mekadeshes. However, if he said, B'schar Shakivech Alachamar, for I will do something and I'll forego being paid, that should be the Kedushin. Shashivcha B'kroin, a B'sfina, a wagon, a boat, all these cases, it is Mekadeshes. And it's the Gemara V'chi Teima. And if you want to suggest that this Braisa also is referring to a situation as Rish Lakish interpreted our Mishnah. That's referring to a situation but the Yavla Shavapruta, that on top of this, he gave her a Shavapruta as well, says the Gemara, but that's not what the Braisa says. The Braisa clearly says that the Kedushin will be for the wages you would have to pay me for doing what I'm doing for you. The Tanya, void, and asked the Gemara another question. Tanya the Braisa says, if a woman says to a man, Sheva mi b'tzafsa, I don't want to sit alone, please keep me company. And in schar for that, in pay for that, a kaddish lach, I'll get married to you. Or schoik lefonai, she said, do some acts in front of me, rekoid lefonai, dance from me, also kadimus azeh, build me a building shaman. We evaluate if what he did is miyesh by shavapruta, if it has a shavapruta, then it's mukadeshes, from lava and mukadeshes. So we see that foregoing wages is a legitimate way of a kedushin. And you don't need to have a separate that the husband should give the wife a pruta. So why did Rish Lakish have to interpret, ask the Gemara, that our Mishnah is referring to a situation where he also gave a pruta? Ask the Gemara again. And if you want to say that this Bryce is also referring to a situation, but the Yavla Shava Pruta, that he gave her a Pruta besides for this wage, but says the Gemara, that's not what the Bryce says. The Bryce clearly says, Vashaman Isa Kama, that we evaluate, is this activity worth a Pruta? So we see from here that you don't have to have a Shava Pruta separately. Tilyufta the Rish Lakish is clearly refuted, and even and when we ever have this type of a situation, as long as what he's going to do for her, what he committed to do for her, has a Shava Pruta, that is the way the Kedushin is effective. We've learned many times that when somebody does something, works for somebody else, there's obviously the person who works for the other person is entitled to get paid for his work. But when we ever have this discussion, the question that comes up is, how does the halacha view when I'm working, when I'm doing something and I'm accruing work for you, how does the halacha look at it? As we learned, do we say yeshna l'schiris betchila v'atzoif? When I'm working for you, every moment, every drop of work I do for you, you owe me for what I've done. And even if you'll only pay me at the end, it means what you're paying me is for what you owe me. Because as I have been working for you, you have been building up an obligation to me. Or do we say, Ein l'schiris el b'soif? Ein l'schiris el b'soif means that you only have to pay me when the job is finished. Amalach Rish Lakish. So says Rish Lakish, the question that you're asking from these brises that clearly don't fit with the way I understand our Mishnah, those brises are follow the opinion Ein l'schiris el b'soif, that the obligation for when I do something for you, the obligation for you to pay me only begins at when the job is done. So there's no halva involved. It's not like you owe me all along, go step by step for what I've done for you. And since it's not like you owe me, so there's no element of halva. However, Tana Didan, the Tana of our Mishnah is of the opinion, as we just said, that yesh lo schiris metchila v'atzoif, that schiris accrues every time I do something from you, you owe me for what I have already done, even though you don't have to pay me until the job is done, but you owe me from when I've done every shava pruta, you owe me. And therefore, it's just one accumulate. It's just an accumulation of halva. And I'm kais from milva and mekadeshes. Ask the Gemara, my doke, Rish Lakish, look me masnisen. Why? What forces Rish Lakish to explain that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Yeshla b'schiris metchil v'atzoif? And if you hold Yeshla b'schiris metchil v'atzoif, therefore, it can't be that he's being mekadesh with what he did for her, because it's a halva. And a mekadesh me halva in a mekadeshes. And that's why he have to say b'diyavla, that besides whatever obligation he took upon himself to do for her, he also gave her a pruta. Why not explain the Mishnah, that the Mishnah holds the ein l'schiris el b'soif, that you're only obligated to pay when the job is done, and therefore the that is with what? He's mekadesh her, and there's no necessity to explain that the Mishnah also speaking that he gave her a pruta separately. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rava, Masnitzin Kashish. What pushed Rabbi Lakish to explain this Mishnah that way is the wording of the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, because my ear the Tani Almanas. Why did the Mishnah use the word that he says, Almanas Shadav Elabishelton? Nisri, he should have said, Beschar, El Shmamina, that the stipulations that were set forth in the Mishnah were only kamanas. It's only a condition that's separate from the pruta that he gave her. He gave her pruta, but there's also a chiyuv at the end. So Gemara is learning that our Mishnah holds yesh no schiris betchil v'atzoif, and therefore the money that's owed to her, the money that's owed to him is a halva, and mekash halva, meaning that the woman owes the man money. And we've had this sugya numerous times in our Masechta. And he says that I'm meichel, that obligation is not a valid kedushin. And as we always explain, the reason why it's not a valid kedushin is because you have to give something substantive, tangible, to make a kedushin. Just forgiving alone is not giving something substantive. But ask the Rishonim, even if you hold Yeshno Schiris Mitchil of Atzoif, and every small amount of work that he does creates a chayiv, but they're measured in pruta sizes. So why isn't that the last pruta amount of work that he did for her, which is a pruta and not a halva? Says, so the Rishonim asked this question. One Teretz to Rishonim say that the amount, the units in which she begins to owe him money is a half a pruta. She owes him a half a pruta at a time. And yes, when he completes the job, so there's this last half a pruta, which is not a halva, but a half a pruta is not enough to create a kedushin. The Rishonim, however, have a very hard time accepting that pshat. Because we know that in halacha, the halacha is that we always measure in units of a pruta. We don't measure in units of a half a pruta. And therefore, since we don't measure in half pruta units, it's difficult to explain that by a worker we do measure in half pruta units. So the Tosfos Rid gives another answer. He says, yes, we measure in pruta units. But even though we measure in pruta units, says the Tosfos Rid, it's not like when he does the last pruta, when he finishes doing the last pruta, at that moment they become a kodeshes. He finishes the job, and then afterwards, he could come to her and say, well, I did mine, and I finished my job, and now it's time for us to get married. But when he comes to her at that point, even the last pruta of work will have been, turns into a halva. And since at that point, even the last pruta work turns into halva, it would be a Mekadesh Mamova and a Mekadeshes. Says the Gemara, if we have a situation where a husband says to the wife, I'm prepared to marry you, however, I'm adding a stipulation, I'm doing a kedushin, but I'm adding a stipulation, I'm not sure it's Abba, that my father should agree. Rotza Av, Mekadeshes, if the father is agreeable, then we have a kedushin. Vim Lav, but if the father is not agreeable, the halach is that he's not, she's not mekadeshes. Meisoav, what will be halacha if the father passes away? Harezu mekadeshes. Even though the father never had an opportunity to affirm his okay. Meisaben, if the son died before he could go to his father and get his father's permission, so what we should do, says the Mishnah, in Melamdim as a av, we teach the father to say Ein Roitza, and like that, we solve any problems of the wife being Mekudeshes and Yibum, etc. Says the Gemara, begins the Gemara, Maya Manas Shir Tzaba. What is meant in the Mishnah when it says, I'm a Shir Tzaba? Ilaim Ada Abba In. It means that we have to get the father's positive confirmation. So ask the Gemara, if that's the way we're going to learn the Mishnah, let's continue learning the Mishnah. Meisa Av, if the father died. So obviously that the father was not able to give positive confirmation. As long as he didn't give negative, she's Mekadeshes. Even though, V'layama Abin. Ask the Rishonim. According to the opinion that Amashir to Abba means that the father says yes. So how long does that last? Is there a time frame around it? The Rashba and the Ran say that he doesn't have to say yes the first time he hears. Even if he was quiet, and even, say the Rashba and the Ran, even if he said, I'm not happy, as long as at any point he says, I'm satisfied with this Kedushin, they are retroactively married from the time of the Kedushin. Ritva says no, because that's a very difficult and untenable situation. So therefore the Ritva says that what is meant is that the father, we go according to when the father hears about the marriage. If when the father hears about the marriage, he says, I'm satisfied, good. And if he doesn't say he's satisfied when he hears it first, then nothing can be corrected and they're not married. Says the Gemara, but we have this contradiction in the Mishnah on how to understand what is meant in Mashir to Abba. Says the Gemara, Ella Amnash Yishtek Abba. We have to say that it means that the Mishnah means that the father will remain quiet. And meant to say was that as long as my father doesn't protest, the Kedushin is a valid Kedushin. And when it said Ratz Abba Kedushes, it means that the father heard and didn't say anything. And when it said in the Mishnah, that Vimlav Enim Kedushes, it means that the father actually protested. But if he didn't protest, then they would be married. Eima Seifa. But now ask the Gemara, let's continue learning the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Mesa Av, Mesa Ben, if the son passed away before he could have ever have told his father what he wants. So the Mishnah said, Melamdus Av, we teach the father, Loimer, to say, Ena Roitza. Amai, how could that help? For Shosak, he apparently already was quiet, and we're learning now, if he was quiet and didn't protest, that's enough to make it into a Kedushin. And as the Tosfos Yesharim explains the Gemara, we can't explain that the Mishnah is speaking about a case that the son passed away before the father ever heard about this Kedushin, and therefore what the Mishnah means says that we should teach him as soon as he hears, unfortunately, that his son passed away, to protest the marriage. Because the wording, says the Tosfos Yesharim, of our Mishnah that says Melamdim Oisa Shirimcha, seems to indicate that he was already aware of the Kedushin. And the Tosfos Riazokin takes this a step further. Beautiful raya. He says, if the Mishnah is speaking about a case where the father was never aware of that the son had made this Kedushin and this stipulation, and we're going to have to inform him and also teach him to protest, then the wording of the Mishnah should have been, Maidim, we inform him and Melamdim and ask him to be Maicha. The fact that we didn't tell him, the Mishnah doesn't say Maidim, is clearly an indication that he was aware of what's going on. Ella, the Seif is speaking about a case, Amalon, when he said, Amnashla Yimchaba. The stipulation is that my father won't protest. And therefore, the father always has the ability to protest. And as long as he could protest, the halacha is the Kedushin is not a valid Kedushin. Only in a case where the father is no longer alive. When we know that when the father is no longer alive, and obviously at that point, it's impossible for him to protest, then and only then will the Kedushin be a full-fledged Kedushin. And therefore, in our Mishnah, the Mishnah is going to be is teaching us that since whenever the father has a right to protest, he has the right to protest, and his protest will accomplish that we don't have a Kedushin, so that's what the Mishnah says. We teach him to protest, and therefore, there won't be a problem with this woman being a married woman. The Reisha, however, says Rashi, cannot be explained that he said Amnash La Yimcha, because then what does the Mishnah say? Rotzo Av. It has nothing to do with Rotzo Av. It has to do with his protest. It must be Amnash Yishtek Abba means that he's going to be quiet, and if he's not quiet, then she's not Mekudeshes, and otherwise she is Mekudeshes. But ask the Gemara. So if this is the way we're explaining the Mishnah, then this Mishnah's cases are changing. Reisha b'chatam. The Reisha is going to be explained that the Kedushin is a valid Kedushin as long as my father remains quiet. Mitziyosoi, the second case of the Mishnah, where the father died before he could protest. And the Sefer, the last case of the Mishnah, where his son died, is going to be explained, where he said that the Kedushin is a valid Kedushin unless my father protests. So the Gemara's question is, it's difficult to accept that the Mishnah, one Mishnah, is talking about two different cases. Amar Rav Yanai in. There's no other way to understand our Mishnah. Two different cases. The Reish is speaking that the Tanai was that my father will remain silent. And the last two cases of the Mishnah is that my father will not protest. Amar Rish Lakish says the Gemara, the fact that Rav Yanai confirms that the Mishnah is speaking about two different cases, and what the Mishnah could have said, what the Gemara could have said, that the Reish and the Sefer are all talking about the same case, and they represent a machlokes. Says Reish Lakish, the fact that Rav Yanai preferred to say that the Mishnah is talking about two different cases rather than to say it represents a machlokes. Shmamin amid Rav Yanai, from what Rav Yanai just said, we learn that kinan umakminin masnisin katrei tama. It's preferable to explain that the Mishnah is speaking about two different cases. I'll leave it to Chatana, but not introduce any machlokes into the Mishnah. Rather, the loy makalina betray tanoi to say that the Mishnah represents a machlokes tanoim b'chat tama, but it's talking about all but one case. Rav Yosef bar Ami Omer, he has another way of explaining the Mishnah. Loylam chatamu, the Mishnah is speaking about all one case. Umay amnashi yirtz abba. How do we define amnashi yirtz abba? Amnashi yirch loyimcha abba mikan v'tshloishim yoyim. That my father will not say anything for 30 days. So now we could understand the Mishnah. The Reish is speaking that if the father accepts the Kedushin, she's Mekadeshes, means that he didn't say anything for these 30 days. And when the Mishnah says, Im loy rotza'av eni Mekadeshes, is that he protested within 30 days. The next case of the Mishnah, if Meso'av, the Kedushin is valid, that since once he passed away, he obviously will not be able to protest. So the Kedushin is obviously a full-fledged Kedushin. The Sefer, where the son died and the father will protest, even though he was quiet, will be referring to a situation where the son died within 30 days of the Kedushin, and the son has stipulated that within those 30 days, if my father protests, the Kedushin is not a Kedushin. So therefore the Mishnah said, since it's still within 30 days of the Kedushin when the son died, the smart thing to do is to tell the father to be Maicha, to protest, and the father by protesting will solve that this woman was never married and there weren't problems of Yibum, Chalitza, etc. Our Mishnah has spoken about a father agreeing or disagreeing to a marriage. And the question comes up, is a son allowed to marry a woman whose parents, his father doesn't want him to marry? The Rama in Yerideya, Simen Reish Mem Hei, Sif Chav Hei, teaches us, Ema'av Moich Beben, Lisa Eze Ben, Sheikh Ben, if the father does not want a son to marry a woman who the son wants to marry, Ain't Sarcha Ben L'Shmoya Lav, the son doesn't have to listen to what the father wants. However, the Shalos HaTshuvos Meshiv Dover says that that's only in a case, says the Meshiv Dover, where this woman doesn't bring any embarrassment to the family, doesn't bring any serious pain to the parents. But if there's such a situation, then maybe his son does have to listen to what his parents say. And Sefer Chassidim says, Shem Ina Isha Toiva, if this woman whom he wants to marry is not a fine woman, Tzorchul Shmoy Loviv, he has to listen to what his parents want. It's a veira not to do so. And he says, a raya, even though probably one could ask a question on that raya, Yaakov didn't marry a girl from Canaan because his parents didn't want him to. It's not a compelling raya. Maybe Yaakov didn't want to marry such a girl. The Shalos HaTshuvos Shevus HaLevi, Chelik Bey Sim Kuf Yud Aleph, says that whenever he gets such a question, he tries to avoid answering the question, or delaying, better said, answering the question, because maybe the time will help that the son should recognize that what his parents are saying are correct. The question is, however, much more acute by a daughter, because a son has the mitzvah puravu. And since the son has the mitzvah puravu, he says, I want to marry this woman so I can fulfill my mitzvah. But as we know, women don't have the mitzvah of puravu. Women aren't obligated with the rights to get married. And therefore, but they are chayiv, as we've learned in our masechta, in kibbutz avim. So maybe if the parents don't want her to marry a certain man, the halacha would be she's not allowed to marry them. However, the Paiskim, the Shas Tshuva's Torah Lishma, and the Shas Mishnah Halachas, and other Paiskim say that even though women don't have the mitzvah puravu, but as we often discuss in Shas, the Gemara says, Lo'itoyah bara l'shevus yitzaru, the world was created to be inhabited, and that obligation is an obligation that applies to men and women. So since it applies by men and women, that's why the halacha is that women do have a mitzvah and they don't necessarily have to listen to their parents. Of course, a complicated question if they want to marry a certain man and fulfill that mitzvah. Says the Mishnah, if a person says, Kedashti Spiti, I married off my daughter who is a ketana. However, any day lemi kedashtiya, I don't know exactly who is the man. And then a man comes and says, I was the one that married her off, neman. But if two people show up, one says, I was the one that married her, and the other one says, I was the one that married her, both should give her a get, because we don't know who is the husband. However, vimratsu, if the two of them agree amongst themselves, what they can do is, echad noisen get, one should give the get, ve'echad kindness, and the other one can marry her. Says the Gemara, Amarav, neman litan get, says the Mishnah, the person says that I married her, he's trusted, that's only to give her a get, and she can get married to anyone else. Ve'en neman likanis. But he can't be trusted to marry her. And Rav explains himself immediately. Since if she's not going to be married to him, he has nothing to gain from the statement, because we're going to force him to divorce her. So that's why we don't need to be concerned that what he's saying is not true. And that's why we believe what he says and give a get. But we don't believe him to the degree that we allow him to marry her, because Ema, maybe he's just saying this because Yitzrei Tekroi, he wants to be married to this woman. And even though this woman is an Ashes Ish, because she's really married to someone else, and he knows that he can never have her, therefore, because she's an Ashes Ish, so he lies and says, she's my wife, so we can't believe what he says. Ravasi Amar, Ravasi disagrees. He says, Af Neman Lichnais, we trust him even to say that she's my wife. And of course, the Rishonim and ask, the question is that throughout halacha, we know that halacha is ein davar sheba erva pachs mishnayim. So we can't, why don't we need two edim? So the Rishonim reply, the Ran explains. The Ran explains, when is there halacha of ein davar sheba erva pachs mishnayim? That's when we want to change the chazaka, the status of a person. This woman already has the status of an Ashes Ish. Why does she have the status of an Ashes Ish? Because her father said that Kadishta, I married her off. The only issue here is that the father doesn't remember who the husband was. So since he's not changing her marital status, we don't have the rule of Ein Dov Shebev Pox Mishnayim. Or Moider Vasi. Bervasi says, in a situation where a woman says, by Meres Niskadashti, where a woman says, I got married, and she says, any day Lamin Niskadashti, but I don't know who is the one that I married to. Or back of Amakadashti, and somebody shows up and says, I am the husband, Einem Melichnes, we don't trust him. The Gemara is going to explain soon why. Ask the Gemara, Tanan, we just learned in our Mishnah that Rotsu, if two men show up and say that they are the husband, so the Mishnah said, Echad Nois and Get, what they could do if they want to arrange things amongst themselves is that one should give the get, Vechad Kainis, and one should marry her. To Yofta the Rav, Rav says that Einen Nemen Lichnois, and here it says that the Nemen Lichnois. So, says, ask the Rishonim, why is this such a strong question on Rav? Rav agrees that when the person says something, he's believed that he has to give a get. So we see that Rav does give some credence. So one teretz that's given, that the Mishnah uses the words, Emechad Rotsu Nois and Get, Emrotsu Echad Nois and Get, Echad Kainis. That seems to mean that they both came with the purpose of being able to marry her. That was what they wanted, but we can't have it that way. Another test that I saw, that if two people came, the halacha should be that we shouldn't trust either of them, because they cancel each other out. The fact that we still have to try to make an arrangement, the halacha is clearly a raya that they came lichnas. Amalach Rav Shani, Hasam Dika Achabadei. Since there's somebody else who's saying that he married her, a suchim masaker, one is obviously saying the truth, one is saying a lie, and in that case, they're both concerned that the father's memory will be jarred, and he'll remember who is the man to whom he gave her. And that's why we believe them, even to get married. But that's not the normal case. But ask Tysus, it's obvious that this fear isn't so strong. Because if the fear was so strong, then we clearly do have a liar. Says the Gemara, says Tysus, that at the end of the day, the person who's the liar is most likely to be the one that's going to give a get. And therefore, since the person that is a liar, he knows, even though normally he might have been stubborn, when there's somebody else here, he's going to give the get. The Rishonim debate when the get is given, and now we have the other person left. What does that mean? Does that mean that the person who's left has to do a new act of Kedushin? Or can we now be comfortable in assuming that he was the one that was married to her all along, and since he was the one that was married to her all along, he doesn't have, and he already did a Kedusha once, he would not have to do a Kedusha again. It says the Baratani Kavasa de Rav Asi, there's a Braisa that supports what Rav Asi said. The Braisa says, if somebody says, Kedashti Aspiti, I was Makadish my daughter, Vani Deli Mi Kedashti, and I don't know who the husband is, or Ba Echad V'Amar Kedashtiya, I'm the one, after Nema Lichnais, we believe him all the way, and we allow him to marry her. Kansa, if he married her, and now somebody else shows up and says, I'm the husband, we don't believe him to make them separate. However, in a case, if a woman said, I got married, however, I don't remember whom I married, nay, we're concerned that he may be lying, and even if she recognizes that he is not the man that married her, she's still going to cover for him. She covers for him in order to get married to her. So we see from here, only when the father doesn't remember who the husband is, and somebody shows up and says, I am the husband, then we don't have a reason to believe that the father is going to cover, and therefore he's believed. But when the woman said it, then we're concerned that the woman is saying it because she wants to end up with her husband, and therefore she may be saying it even though it's not true, and therefore the kedusha is not a kedusha. Ask the Gemara Boilahu, In a case where the father said that he was Mekadosh's daughter, and we don't know who the husband is, but the father could, but the woman is an Eishes Ish, even if we don't know who the husband is. What does the halacha ask the Gemara as far as getting skila? Will she get skila if she's mezana with Edom? Ma'al lisko ayodai. Rav Amma ain't cyclin. Rav says she wouldn't get skila. Rav Amma she ain't cyclin. Rav Asi Amma ain't cyclin. Rav Amma ain't cyclin. Kim the Rechman al-Av. When does the Torah give the father the namonis? Lesura. That she said that she can't get married to anyone else. Lekotl lehemna. Rav Asi Amma cyclin. Kul mesnam the Rechman al-Av. The father has full-fledged namonis. Omer Rav Asi umedina. But I agree that if it's a case by Meres where she said Niskadeshti, even though we treat her as an Eishes Ish, if she was Mezana, ain't cycling, we wouldn't give her Skila. Vamra Vasi, Hanishmatz Didai, what I just said, Mrafsin Igri. Mrafsin Igri means that they break the roof. They're difficult to understand. Hashta, in the case of Mabamokim, in the case where the father said, Kidashti is Spiti V'eni Deilami, I married off my daughter, I just don't know who the husband is. And said the Mishnah, according to Vasi, and Baal Lichness, if a man says that I, if a man shows up and says, I am that man, he's trusted for kindness and he marries her. Amrit, the halach is that if she was Mazana Cyclim because of what the father said, but Mokum, in a case where the woman said it, the halach is Baal Lichness and kindness, that we don't trust this man. We're concerned that she's an Eishes Ish to somebody else. Ain't a dinsha cyclin. Why, in this case, would she not get skila? Filaihi. Says the Gemara, it's a whole different explanation. La'av himna rachmana. The father was given a special namonis. La'dela himna, but not to the daughter was not given. The woman was not given that namonis. Chizna, echadzeh vechadzeh. Whether it's the father or the woman who said kiddushtia, that not to the degree that you get skila ain't cycling. Vazra of Chizal Tamei explains the Gemara of Chizal following his opinion that the father doesn't have that level of namonis. Dabar of Chizal. If a father says, Beniza Teisha Shon V'yoyim Echad, my son is 9 years old, and therefore his bia is a bia, that if he had relations with a woman, it would be considered that she had, it would be considered that she had relations. Or he said, "Bitizu b'ashal shana v'yom echad," that this girl is 3 years old, and an act of bia with her is considered a halachic act of bia. Neman the carbon, based on his testimony, the halach would be someone could bring a carbon. Avaloi makis, we wouldn't get makis if it would be a situation with his makis if this aveira was done b'shagig. Aloi lanchim, there wouldn't be chiv misa. Tanik v'asid Rav Chizda. Says the Gemara, the Braisa supports what Rav Chizda say. The Braisa says, if somebody comes and says, "Beniza ben shloisha esr shana v'yamechad," my son is bar mitzvah. Biti bashtem esr shana v'yamechad, my daughter is bas mitzvah. Nemel nedarim, that if they main nedarim, then nedarim are considered valid nedarim. When the same l'charam l'agdoshim l'arochim, avloy l'makas l'anchim, for that far, they don't have that level of nemonis.